Bible says when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing.
Yeah.
And what a blessing it is to have a wife that loves the Lord and a wife that loves you and helps you in your life. I know I need a lot of help in times of my life, and I'm sure all of us do. But it's good to be here today. It's good to see each one of you here. Kelly's out of town, and the class is in here with us. We welcome you today to our class also. And we trust as we continue with our study in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5 is where we are, that the Word of God will be exactly what we need today. Ephesians in chapter number 5. You know, it must be a good crop of pumpkins this year. I never seen so many pumpkins around everywhere, and they're beautiful ones. They're big ones too, you know. It's been a good season for them, but they're very colorful. I like to see pumpkins grow. Ephesians chapter 5, thank you again for being here on this beautiful day. It's a great day to be alive, ain't it?
Amen.
It really is a good time to be in the Lord's house. I appreciate all of you coming today to be here. I just pray that God will, through His Word, not what I say, but through His Word, benefit you, help you, in the Lord. Because the Word of God is what it's all about anyway, as we read it together. Let's pray. Father, now is the time, Lord, once again, we've come to your house to open your word. Dear God, we pray, Lord, as we have opened it now together, as we read this portion of your scripture, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would be our teacher. Lord, please give us open minds today to what you're trying to say to us as your children. And Father, we commit now this time to you, Lord, that you've given us. Thank you for everyone that's put forth the effort to be in Sunday school today. We do bless, pray you bless all our teachers today as they open the Word of God to their students. Lord, may, if there's one in our midst that's lost, may they be saved today. Lord, may your children be encouraged today. And Lord, may we look to you now for all we need, because we know, Lord, that Jesus Christ is really all we need in our life. Have your will and way now in this service. Well, thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Begin reading with verse number 1. Ephesians 5, begin reading with verse number 1. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ has also hath loved us, and has given himself for us and us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an adulterer, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. We started a few weeks ago on this chapter talking about verse number 1, be followers of God as dear children. I said when I stated we read that verse that this was one of the greatest challenges from the Word of God is to be a follower of God, to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the challenge for mankind. We as believers are to walk following, or if you please, imitating God. Now, we know that God is not here in a body, is he? He's not here. Jesus is not living on this earth. God is a spirit. But we do have the Word of God that we are to study, we're to read it, and we are to follow the Word of God, which is literally the living Word of God that we have. And as we go through life trying to follow God, we do that through His Word, by reading His Word. We see here the psalmist wrote this in Psalm 119, 105, thy word is a what? A lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Therefore, we have the Word of God as born-again children of God to follow Him. Now, Paul is writing here to the church. He's writing and liken unto the church being a bride, being a the bride of Christ is who we are as children of God. He's instructing us and he's trying to encourage us to walk through life following God. Following God, letting God be our guide, him directing us in everything that we do, no matter what we do in our life. And we see now that it's important that we walk, the believer walk following God. But as a believer now, we have to take a step. We have to take a step and become a follower of God. See, it's one thing to be saved, the only way to heaven, okay? But is Jesus Christ Lord of our lives? Someone said, he's Lord of all, or he's Lord, he's not Lord at all. And that's the way it is. So we have to take a step of following him upon after we know Christ as our Savior. There's a step we have to take. We went back to Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 through 20, where Peter, Jesus walked along the Sea of Galilee, and he met these two fishermen, Peter and Andrew. And he told them, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. We see there in that passage of Scripture how we're to follow the Lord. First of all, there was this self-denial. Peter and Andrew denied themselves, okay? They listened to the Lord Jesus Christ as he spoke to them and tried to encourage them to follow him. They denied themselves. They took a stand. They left all. They left all they had, their nets, their livelihood. They left it all just to follow Jesus, and then they were steadfast. They followed him. So it takes self-denial. It takes leaving all sometimes. And it takes steadfastness to follow God, to follow the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. And so this idea is that of commitment, it is of devotion, and it is of attention. All these three things are important. We're not talking about, when we say follow the Lord, not just being a friend of God, or not just being involved in church. We're not talking about that. But we're talking about a follower of God. A follower of God. Trying to imitate him. Back in chapter 4, verses 30 through 32, we find how God is. Especially verse 32, how we're to be. We're to be kind. We're to be tenderhearted. We're to be forgiving one another. You know, all these things are necessary in our life as a Christian to follow God. Because that's the way he is. I'm so glad today, folks, that God is kind to me. He's gracious to me. He's forgiving to me. God, listen, if it were not for the goodness of God upon each one of us, we wouldn't even be here today. We wouldn't even be alive today. God's good to us all, no matter what we're facing in our life. And we must realize that God wants us to be that way also as his bride, a child of God. On my way to heaven, you see. So we see that the believer is to follow God, taking that step of following God. In verse 2, we see how we're to follow God. We're to do it in love. We're to walk in love. So in verse 1 and 2, we see that we're to follow Christ in love. Walk in love by loving Christ. Look, it says, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved who? Us. He loved us. Therefore, we're to walk in love also. We're to walk in love also. We see walking in love. There's a standard to uphold, folks. We're to walk in love. There is a path to follow. That is walking in love. As Jesus Christ has been an example for you and I. Notice, first of all, he sacrificed. He sacrificed who? Himself. He sacrificed himself for who? For you and for me. He died in my place. He died in my stead. He died as my substitute. He died as yours also. So we see here that he's talking about he sacrificed himself. Not only did he sacrifice himself, but he offered himself. He offered himself. Look at verse number 2. And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us an offering, first of all, us, and then a sacrifice to who? To God, his Father, for a sweet-smelling Savior. See, so we see here that Jesus Christ, he offered himself, he became a sweet fragrance to God. God's love is always an acting love. For God so loved the world that he what? He gave. It's an acting love. Likewise, we as the bride of Christ, our love should be an acting love, evident love in the lives of those that we are around. So we see in verses 1 and 2, to follow Christ is to follow Christ in love. But now notice in verse number 3, Paul here says also, verse number 3, but fornication and uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh who? Saints. Now, Paul is getting specific here in these verses right here. He's saying, first of all, but fornication. He's saying here that the Christian, the child of God, is to avoid literally all immorality. We're to avoid it. He says, first of all, he talks about fornication. You know what fornication is? It's sex without marriage, sex outside of marriage. He's also talking not only about that, he talks about uncleanness. That's morally. We're to be morally pure. Morally pure. Our lives are to be clean before God. Be clean. He's talking about free of covetousness. Oh my, how this steps on my toes sometimes. That is the desire of wanting more. The desire of wanting more. That's covetousness. Wanting more. You know, if God never gave me anything else in this life, I have a plenty. I need food every day. But outside of things in this world, I don't need anything. Really. You know? And most of you can say the same thing. What else do we need? What else should we desire in our life except health and food? You know, and to be able to serve God, you see. But he says here, he says in verse 3, he says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, notice the next words, let it not be once named among you. Let it not be once named among you. Now, what is he saying? He's saying here, here's the command. He gives us a command. Let it not be once named among you, Paul says. He's saying simply this, not even mentioned once. We're not even to mention it once. Fornication and uncleanness and covetousness should not even be mentioned in our lives. As a Christian, see, immorality is to be the farthest thing from the believer's mind. Immorality, the farthest thing from the believer's mind. Now listen, as long as we're in this flesh, I don't care who we are, what position you hold in life, we're all subject to fault. We can fall, except from the grace of God. We can all fall. But we're not even to mention it. We're not even to talk about it. Okay? That's what Paul says right here. God, and also, God has nothing to do with it. God has nothing to do with it. Turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Let's see what we hear the writer says. I can find it here. 1 Timothy chapter 5, look at verse 22. Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partakers of other men's sins. Keep thyself what? Pure. Keep thyself pure. Have nothing to do with other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. So we see here, first of all, to avoid all immorality in verse number 3. He says, look at the last part of this. He says, as becometh saints. Children of God. Children of God is who we are. These kind of things ought not to be in our lives. He's saying this. And we need to watch out for these kind of things in our lives, you see. Now, verse number 4. Look at verse number 4. He's continuing here. He says, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather, what? Giving of thanks. You know, we have enough. If all we would talk about in our life is just thank God for what He's done for us, we can never thank Him enough, folks. We can never, it will never end. You know, sometimes just having a Thanksgiving service is great for people to thank God for what He's doing, what He's done in our lives. You know, we can never get through. And thank the good Lord, we have eternity to thank Him with Him one day. We're going to spend eternity with him. But notice what it says. The believer here now is to refrain from all offensive and indecent language. Language he's talking about here. He says, neither filthiness. Now, you and I both, as born-again children of God, whenever I'm around that kind of stuff, it bothers me. It offends me. You know, it upsets me sometimes. You know, filthiness. And all of us have been there, haven't we? At jobs, where we work at, or somewhere, we are around that kind of stuff, even today in which we live. And we find that these kind of things, we need to stay away from it. We're to be clean-mouthed, if you please. Clean-mouthed, you know. We're to be pure in our speech and our conversation. Filthiness is shameful. It's shameful. It brings shame to God Almighty. It brings shame to him. And we need to watch out for this kind of stuff in our lives as Christians. Paul says that which are not convenient. These things we are not to be around. Notice also, he says also in this same verse, foolish talking. That's talking with nonsense, most likely. In other words, somebody's talking and don't know what they're talking about. You know, this happens sometimes in our lives. We're around that kind of stuff. We see here. Turn over to James chapter 1. Let's see. James, yeah, chapter 1. Look what the writer says here. Talking about foolish talking. Talking senseless. James chapter 1. Look at verse number 26. Says, if any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his what? His tongue. But deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. This man's religion is vain. You know, bridling the tongue is a big step in our lives, isn't it? As children of God. Christians should have their conversation sensible, first of all, serious, and also remembering the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, what he says about our speech. Turn back to Matthew for just a few minutes. Matthew chapter 12. Let's look what Jesus said about our words, what we say in our life, and how important it is what we say. You know, we never know from week to week, from hour to hour, from day to day, how our words are going to affect people when we say them. They can be positive, they can be negative to influence people, either way. So we need to be careful with our speaking. Notice in Matthew chapter 12, verse number 33. Talking about here, Jesus is writing, talking about the destiny of our words. Where is our words going when we say them? When I speak, when you speak, where is our words going? The destiny. What is the effect of our words when we speak? We notice Jesus says here in verse number 33, he says, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his what? His fruit. Either the tree brings forth good fruit, either the tree brings forth corrupt fruit. The good tree brings forth good fruit. The bad tree brings forth corrupt fruit. I have an apple tree in my yard. Every year it brings forth, I mean, literally hundreds of apples. But that is a corrupt tree because it brings forth corrupt fruit. The fruit is bountiful. The fruit is probably that big. But on every apple, there's all kinds of spots. And that fruit is really no good. Even though it's a bountiful crop of fruit, that tree is still corrupt because it brings forth corrupt fruit, isn't it? It brings forth corrupt fruit. And Jesus is saying that here. He's saying that here. A tree and its fruit. We see here, first of all, the source of what we say. The source of what we say. When I speak, when you speak, where does it come from? Where does it come from? The source of what we say is very important. Notice, first of all, we see here the tree, literally a root in the ground, right? It brings forth fruit. Now, whenever we look at ourselves, what is evident, what is the main thrive we have is our heart, isn't it? The heart literally is our tree, or our root, if you want to call it that, physically speaking. Now, we see the heart is the root. Now, what is the fruit? Okay, if my heart is the root, what is my fruit? My fruit is my language. Okay, what I say. Because we're going to see a little later, what I say comes from my heart. Okay? It comes from my heart. What you say comes from your heart. Therefore, we see here that this is what Jesus is trying to instruct us. You realize that the source of what we say, the heart is the root. The language is the fruit from our heart. Okay? As a man thinketh in his heart, what? So is he. So is he. That's what the writer says in the book of Psalms. So we see here that the tree and the fruit here. We also see, look at verse number 34. O generation of vipers, how can ye being evil speak good things? Notice he says, for out of the abundance of the what? The what speaketh? The mouth speaketh. See. Oh, ye generations of vipers, how can you be evil speaking good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh here. What are we seeing here? Speech reveals our character. What I say reveals my character. To you that listen to me, to others that listen to you, it tells them who we are. Literally, it tells them who we are. Now, not only is the heart the root and also my language, the fruit, but also the heart, according to this verse, is the fountain. It's the fountain. And we see my words are the streams that outflow my mouth. My words are the streams that outflow from my mouth to you. So my heart is the root. My speech is my language. My language. My language is the fruit. Also, my heart is the fountain. And also, we see the words are the streams that come out of me. They come out of my mouth. See? So we see that this is talking about the source of what we say. Now, notice in verse 35, a good man out of the good treasure of the what? Heart. There it is. Bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Now, what is Jesus saying here? He's saying here that the heart is the treasure. The heart is the treasure, and we see the words are the things brought out. The words that we speak are the things that are brought out of the treasury, which is your heart. Which is your heart. You treasure what's in your heart, don't you? Therefore, if your heart is the treasury for you, and from that treasury comes out from you what's most important to you in your life, you see. So Jesus is trying to help us to see here the source of what we say. The source of what we say. Now notice the seriousness of what we say. The seriousness of what we say. Everything I say is important. Everything you say is important. And when I say that, I mean literally everything. Everything I say is important. Everything you say is important. Notice in verse number 36, Jesus said, but I say unto you that every what? Idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Every word that I say when I'm standing here teaching you, I will give an account one day to God. Every word that I say, every idle word, every single word that I say, I am accountable to God for what I say in my life. We see the everlasting nature of our words. Idle words, or words that are maybe useless or inactive. It's not just the sincere words I say, but even idle words that I say. I will give an account to God for everyone. For me. Not for you, but for me. Because I say it. Okay? So it's very, very important that we realize this, the everlasting nature here. You listen to a man talk for a few minutes, and you can discover, and I can discover, what country they are of. I don't mean like Europe and Asia and all that. I'm talking about either in heaven or earth. He's a man, he's a person. There are people that are on the way to heaven or they're on the way to a lost world. You can discover that by what they say. If you listen to them a few minutes, it may take a few minutes. But because of what we say helps people to discover who we are. Where we're going. Where we're going when we leave this world as well as where we are here, you see. Now, what we say is very important. God help me. In order for me to realize everything I say is important, I must realize also that I need help when I speak. I need help. There are two sources. There are two sources that motivate us and drive us to say what we say. Now, realizing the heart is the root, okay? The heart is the treasure and all this. But there are two sources. As a born-again child of God, I'm speaking to all of you as Christians. Most of you are. As a child of God now, we have a source to help us when we speak. And that source is the grace of God. The grace of God. When God's grace, God's love is within us, that grace, that love enables us to say what we ought to say. Amen? He helps us to say that. When grace is reigning in my heart, the language that comes out of my mouth is going to be proper. It's going to be encouraging. It's going to be uplifting. It's going to be edifying to people, is it not? But the second source that we have within us, we'll have it in us as long as we live in this flesh, is lust. Lust. Have you ever said something and you say, why in the world did I say that? I have. Sometimes I've said something and I've been sorry I said it. It wasn't reigned by grace. It was controlled by lust. Controlled by lust. And long as we're in this house of clay, folks, Christians, we're going to have to deal with this. We're going to have to battle these things, you see. And we have to be careful. We have to be careful. And ask God to help us with our speaking, you see. We also see in verse 37, notice what the Bible says. Jesus says this. Says, for by thy words thou shalt be what? Justified. For by thy words, what I say, I will be justified. Notice the last part of that verse. And by thy words thou shalt be condemned. By thy words I shall be justified. By thy words I shall be condemned. This is the evidence of our words. What we're saying. We shall be justified. Or we shall be condemned by what we say. So our words, again, are very, very important. When our hearts are sanctified, it will appear in our words. When my heart is set apart for God, for His glory, and to the edification of other people, it will be of the Lord. It will be of the Lord. So, we see here what Jesus is saying, the source of what we say, the seriousness of what we say as children of God. Again, Paul was writing to Christians. Be careful. You know, we learned a song many, many years ago. Be careful, little hands, what you do. Be careful, little feet, where you go. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. And all that stuff is elementary, but it's important. It's important. See, we can even benefit today where we are, what we learned those years, if we would apply it to our lives. See, because it's so important here, what we say. What we say is so, so important. So we see here, now go back to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 5 again. We notice something else. Paul says, verse 3 again, verse 3 and 4, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becoming saint. In other words, don't even mention it. And then neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient. These things are not convenient. Jesting. Jesting is mocking, it's wick. You know, it's like a playful humor. It's not genuine, you know, it's just playful. You know, carrying on, you see, making fun, degrading, wisecracks, all these things, you see, in our life. These things, notice he says in verse number 4, says, these things which are not convenient. He's talking about all these things. They're not convenient. In other words, they're not fit in the life of a Christian or proper in our character. Our character should not display these things in our lives, see. Christians should be serious, yes. They should be cheerful, and they should be pleasant at all times in our lives. And only by the grace of God can we be that way. It's God's grace. Think not a smile to be sinful. It's not. We ought to smile more. It'll help a preacher preach better. You know, knowing that you're alive and you're smiling sometimes. But also, on the other hand, think not these other things, such as jesting and filthiness and foolish talking. Think not these things harmless, because they are. They are harmless. They are harmless. And sometimes we don't realize it. We don't realize it, see. But notice what he says, the last part of that verse. He says, but rather giving of what? Giving of thanks. But rather giving of thanks, see. This is what we ought to be doing. Thanks to God, or praise, are more like Christians when we thank God and praise Him for what He's done, what He's doing in our lives. These are more like Christians, you see. We're all sociable beings, aren't we? We have that nature. And if we do not assemble for good purposes, we will assemble for what? Bad purposes. Bad purposes. That's why we have church. We come here for a good purpose, don't we? We come here for a good purpose. Therefore, we can do this. We can praise God. The character of Christians are to come together, to sing praises to God, to pray, to talk about the great redemption, how God has saved us, how God is keeping us, how God is helping us every day of our life. These are things we are to be talking about. And again, I said to begin with, if we talk about these things, all these other things are not going to have any place in our life, because we got plenty to talk about, folks, when we talk about the goodness of God, don't we? When we talk about the goodness of God, it's very, very important here as we see this. Now, notice also, believers are in walking, following God. Look at verse number 5. Verse number 5. We see in verse number 5, for this ye know that no... But for this you know that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous person, who is an adultery, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. We see here, we see God's warnings. By God's warnings concerning all these things he's been talking about here. We see uncleanness has no part with God. God has no part with uncleanness in our lives. He will not. He will not. You see, don't, and then we see in verse number 6, Paul says, let no man deceive you with what? Vain words. Vain words. Who was the first person deceived by vain words? Eve. Adam and Eve, they were deceived, were they not? By what? By vain words. Vain words deceive people. They deceive me. They deceive you. So therefore, we must realize there are deceivers in the world today. There are deceivers out there in the world today. And we see here, this is. But notice it says, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. We see the wrath of God is coming upon the children of disobedience. And these things are uncleanness. There are deceivers out there. But notice last but not least, verse number 7. Paul says, be not ye therefore partakers with them. That is, the people that do these things in verse number 3 and verse 4. Be not partakers. Be not partakers with those people. We're not to be associated with them. Be separating ourselves from the unclean. Paul counsels the believers here not to participate with sinners. It's an amazing thing. I don't know why it is. But when a person, that's a Christian, when they get out here in the world and they start dibbling and dabbling with lost people, 9 times out of 10, or more than that, 99% of the time, what's going to happen? Those lost sinners are going to influence that Christian to go their way. Their way. That Christian is not going to influence those lost people to go his way. Most of the time, it works the other way. Therefore, we find, don't be deceived. Paul says, first of all, we're taught here that it's impossible for believers to partake of the sins of others. It is possible for us to partake of the sins of others. But when we do that, what happens? It dishonors God. It dishonors God. It is an attraction to others. It is a mischief to ourselves. What happened to me? You know, how did I get where I'm at? We don't understand. You see, we're also taught that believers ought to maintain a very separate walk in this world. A very separate walk in this world. And when we do, we're going to be in the minority, I guarantee you that. But we need to maintain that separate walk in following God. In following God, you see. We should have more care in to be good, really. We should have more care in being good, really, than to seek outward goodness. To seek outward goodness. Outward goodness profiteth no man, because none of us are good. None of us are good, you see. Someone said the mature Christian, the complete Christian, bears the image of God. Bears literally the image of God. God is both good and God does good. God is good and He does good. We as God's children are to bear that image. Not only are we to be good, but we're to what? Do good. We're to do good. Now, in closing, I want you to turn to Psalm 19. Talking about our speech today. What we should say. May this be your prayer, it's my prayer, as we read this today, as we close. Psalm 19, the last verse, 14, says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Will you read that out loud with me together? Here we go. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you, dear God, for helping us every day of our life. Lord, I pray, God, as we listen to you, not to me, but to you, that, Lord, you would strengthen us in our walk daily with you and for you. Lord, we sure need your help. Lord, I believe it's the desire of everybody in this room this morning to want to follow you. And God, I pray you'd help us to be followers. God, help us to continue in your word and let your word be the lamp unto our feet and the light unto our path. Lord, we're about to go into another service. God, we commit this service to you. And God, we ask you now, Lord, to bless the singing, the congregation, the specials, and especially bless our pastor. Give him strength, give him power to speak what you've laid upon his heart for us today. Lord, if there's one in our audience today that's lost, I pray they might be saved today. For today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. Have your will and way now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.